Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice.
From the Call to Worship broadcast archives.
Listen to the words of this song that we're about to sing. Work, for the night is coming. Work through the morning hours. Work while the dew is sparkling. Work mid springing flowers. Work when the day grows brighter. Work in the glowing sun. Work, for the night is coming, when man's work is done. From Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 12. Last week we only considered the words of verse 12, which describe charity or love, and then also verse 14, and above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, using different examples, including the Good Samaritan, and talking of my own happenings in recent days, of concerning my wife passing away and the things preceding that in her sickness. Let's read this word once again. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus, He who alone can be the mediator between us and thee. He who alone is the sin-bearer whom thou hast given him, and telling us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins, telling us much in those ways, that while we were enemies, thou dost give him, not only sinners, but enemies. The terribleness of unbelief, help us to see it, as described in thy word, and we pray that thou would open our hearts to that word, to believe that which we need to repent of, that which we need to believe to the saving of the soul, that which we need to obey thee rightly, and especially in these words for thy children. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Thou didst say in thy ministry here, Lord Jesus, on earth, be ye perfect, as our Father in heaven is perfect. We know that to be perfect, there will have to be charity, love. For thou hast told us that though we speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not charity, it profiteth nothing, and is tinkling cymbal and sounding brass, and telling us the same and giving our body to be burned, telling us the same if we had faith to remove mountains and have not charity, it is nothing. Help us to see these things. Help us to see both the greatness of charity. As thou hast said, faith, hope, and charity, the greatest of these is charity. Help us also to see that without faith it is impossible to please thee, and what it means when thou dost tell us not only of being saved by faith, but the just shall live by faith. Help us to do so now, and all that we do, word and deed, to live by faith, to live with a trust in thee, to help us to speak rightly, to think rightly, to do rightly, knowing that without thee, Lord Jesus, we can do nothing. We pray for these spiritual blessings first. Also, we give thanks for the many natural blessings that we have that others do not have. Food and raiment we have in abundance. Homes, others are homeless, some without raiment, some without food. Many fathers suffering the terrible ravages of war. We pray for the schools that are, many of them, without truth, telling lies of creation, lies of even how we should learn to be good citizens in our nation, lies, Father, in many other areas and the areas of government. We pray for the government itself. They might want truth and not lies, to deceive one another, to profit themselves, but not realizing, Father, that they are opposing themselves in the end. They, opposing thee, will learn thy judgment, possibly in time and certainly in eternity. And we pray for our leaders. We pray especially for our president and the leaders of each nation, that they might have the fear of thee, they might be protected from the enemies that would destroy them. We ask, Father, for thy blessing on the hungry. We pray for those in sickness and injury, that thou would give healing to many. Give grace to those that must go through life in pain and weakness. Especially we pray that thou prepare those for death. We ask all these things and give thanks, and pray also for the broken homes, the children in those homes, the many other needs that there are, and temporal needs, spiritual needs. Make us to seek first thy kingdom and thy righteousness, with a promise that all these things will be added for ourselves and for others through Christ. Amen. As we continue in this letter of God through Paul to the Colossians, we see the importance once again, as we mentioned from Paul's words to the Corinthians, faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love or charity. Some versions using the word charity, some using the word love, some emphasizing the difference between the two words, but certainly they both go in the same direction, that God tells us to love him, to love our neighbor, and certainly in our neighbor to have charity rather than covetousness, as God has said, thou shalt not covet anything that is thy neighbor's. And what a terrible thing it is to want something wrongly that is our neighbor's, instead of loving our neighbor as ourself. And I mentioned last week, I mentioned again, of that one night at the hospital when I should have stayed with my wife, and I didn't. I was told to go home, and I foolishly wrongly did. It was not, as we read here, bowels of mercies, kindness. In this 12th verse of Colossians 3, my wife needed bowels of mercy. She needed kindness, and I wasn't there to give it. I was told it'd be all right without it, but it was not. And it is to my terrible regret. And so I would tell every one of you, listen carefully to the Word of God. Do what the song said. Work, for the night is coming when man's work is done. For my dear wife, her work is done on earth. I'm still here to work, but not work for my wife. I cannot do now what I could have done a few weeks ago or a number of days ago. There are certain things that are done in our life while we are still living. We cannot do what should have been done earlier. And Paul is giving us good exhortation here. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And as the Lord Jesus and his ministry here on the earth taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We might like to pray that generally, but pray with it. Thy will be done in my life, in all things, and especially loving our neighbor as ourself. There's much in Scripture concerning that, much in Scripture to all of us, and particularly Paul writes to the Christians in Romans 12 and 13. Romans 12, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Here in Colossians we read, charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Christ said in his Sermon on the Mount, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. We can only be perfect if we have everything in Christ, which we certainly come short of, which we should not. We should want him in all things. Like Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. What can we do if he doesn't strengthen us? Only foolish things. Like that night, and I have learned much in that and since that, as I prayed, the just shall live by faith. What does that really mean? That means trust in the Lord in all things. Not just believe about him, not just believe historically that he is God, but believe I need him, as one song says, I need thee every hour. We do. Every minute, every second. Terrible things could happen if he'd leave us in the worst of things, if he'd leave us to Satan, if he'd leave us to enemies, leave us to foolish admonitions and advice, as I took that night wrongly. Did not lead to kindness, did not lead to the need of my wife. And I want to tell every one of you, think about that. Or you'll have, as I do, regret. This 12th chapter, the 13th verse, he says, distributing to the necessity of saints. All, everyone in the church, but also love your enemies. As he says, further in that same chapter, verse 20, therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be in the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. That isn't there just to fill the page. That's there to call us to repentance. Be not wise in your own conceits. Don't think I know it. Don't think I can do it. Listen to Christ when he said shortly before being taken by Judas and the wicked men with him that night, the Garden of Gethsemane. without me, you can do nothing. Nothing wisely. Nothing to the glory of God. Nothing to the full need of our neighbor. The next chapter, chapter 13, continues. The first part of the chapter, how we are to be subject to government, to higher powers. Fourth verse, for he is a minister of God to thee for good. And they're supposed to punish the evil. Normal, good governments do that. And if we as a people throw away our faith in God, as we're doing, murder our unborn children, have wrong marriages, soon God will leave us to ourselves, and we will choose leaders as evil as ourselves. That's what we're doing. We choose murderers in government. I just read how the one party that has wanted and has given permission for abortion, not even trying to stop it, one of our former presidents in that party was given a bill by the Congress, both houses of Congress, House of Representatives, the Senate passed a bill outlawing partial birth abortion. That president, with his wicked hand, vetoed it. He was saying, I will be a murderer. What will he face when he comes before an angry God? And what will those face that vote for him? And what will those face who are so angry today and would be terribly angry if our president could outlaw abortion? There would be buildings burned. There would be bedlam in the street. That's how we are as a nation. Wicked, waxing worse and worse. Wake up, work rightly, for the night is coming, not evilly. As I heard this past week of our Justice Department, once said, individuals in that department are now just us, not justice, but just us, for self. What I want as a person, what I want as a politician. We're not looking at our country anymore. The good of it, the good of the future, the good of the children. Why? Love to God is gone, even in the church. Christ said, you are the salt and the light of the world. But he said, but, and what awful words follow that but, if the salt hath lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be trodden underfoot. Trodden underfoot of men. That's where we are, basically as a church. Not respect. Our former president, at one prayer breakfast, he just said to the church, get off your high horse. Trying to defend Islamic faith as not being any worse than the so-called Christian faith. The Christian faith of the past has some terrible records of murder. Thousands killed by the church. One part against another. And we should blush instead of being so proud. And we should listen to God's word and say, as God commands here by Paul to the church at Rome and to us, we'll get back to Colossians in a moment, Lord willing. He states in the last part of Romans chapter 13, verse 9, if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. What does he follow it with? It is now high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's for the church. If the church needs it, how much more the nation and the world need it? Yes. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And if you are truly a child of God and in the church, it will be, as Paul said, Father. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Only when that has happened can we do what the song says. Work, for the night is coming. Work through the morning hours. Yes, the morning hours. Psalm 90 tells us we're like the grass, green in the morning. In the evening, cut down. Quickly, quickly, quickly. I think of my wife, married 64 years. Zip, zip, zip. First date, married, children, 50th anniversary, 60th, 64th. Finished. A long time. Thank God for it. And yet, a short time. Like the Bible says, as to happen sometimes, to wake up to know it to be true. We read it ahead. Now we know it more. Ecclesiastes tells us there's a time to be born and a time to die. God's time. But what we do in that time is our obedience or our disobedience, our believing God or our unbelief. What will it be for you and me? Will it be put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness above all things? Do that. I've quoted before, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love or charity. This is what we are to have and do. Put on, therefore, the elect of God, holy and beloved, with bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. We might have to have more humbleness and shame before we become kind and know what ought to be done. Yes, above all, many things to do. But God's word says here, this is above all. Put on charity. True charity would lead to the bond of perfectness. God has that. God does that. God is love. And he shows his love toward us by giving us Christ. And I would speak that to the unbelievers that are in the audience. Have you known the need of repenting before God? Have you known the need of becoming guilty before God? And as Paul writes to the church at Rome, that all the world become guilty and every mouth may be stopped. No more smart things from us. No more excuses. Stopped. Listen. 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 When Paul was stopped on the road to Damascus, I think his mouth was stopped too. 3 days and three nights, he didn't eat or drink, couldn't see anything. We may believe he learned a lot. Later he wrote, I had not known sin except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. As I said earlier, if we covet, we can't love. Love is giving. Coveting is an inordinate affection of somebody else's things. We also need to think of it, particularly with husbands and wives. A little further here, Paul will write in Colossians 3, husband, love your wives, be not bitter against them. Paul gives us a good admonition in the church to Ephesus when he writes, husbands, love your wives. Then, further in that chapter, he states, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Loving our neighbor as ourself. Has to begin with our closest neighbor. Someone we're with much of the time. Someone, as God tells us here, the two shall be one flesh. Leave father and mother and join unto his wife. The same is true for the woman. Leave father and mother, be joined to her husband. Before that, husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, as Christ also is the head of the church, so is he the Savior of the body. Then, God through Paul tells us this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. But then he comes back once more. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and the wife sees she reverence her husband. We're not doing that. Half the home's broken in the nation, in the church. Terrible. Terrible for husbands and wives. Terrible for if there are any innocent parties, which often there are not. They can't both be right, but they can both be wrong. And we have to recognize that. And almost always it's true. I've seen it terribly. Number one, want a reconciliation with a husband, and said, I'll take counseling if he will. But told me before that don't say that I did anything wrong. The counseling was more wanting to air what she thought than taking counsel herself. Counsel for the other, but not for self. And it was just simply pride on both places, and much of it, and both in what we might call very conservative churches, even though they had a different mind of what the Bible taught. Yes, we have that in the church. We have it everywhere. Christ tells us, whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with them twain. That means give double what they ask. They want you to do something for a time, for a while, do it even more. That's what I should have done that night. And I tell you that again and again, so others will think, what does God want me to do? First of all, in the home, but everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. Like I mentioned last week, the story of the Good Samaritan, the man to justify himself, who is my neighbor? As if I can find excuses for some. Don't try to find excuses. They want hold on the day of judgment. It'll come from a deceitful heart, a heart that needs to be recognized, repented of, and a new heart will I give you, says God. A heart that will, first of all, admit sin, want to be forgiven through Christ, and then want God's law written on the heart, from the least to the greatest. We need that today, much. Many need it for the first time. They're lost until they're saved by Christ, by God. And we need reviving of it in the church. If judgment must begin, it must begin at the house of God. Oh, may God do it for us today.
To God be the glory.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.